time for a podcast already.
Check 1 2, check 1 2, check 1 2, check 1 2.
I didn't know that.
Alright, everybody, welcome to the 50th episode of the Garlic Jar Podcast Show. Today, we are debuting our 50th episode. So we've been doing this with you guys for just about a year now, just a little over a year, actually, because we did take that extended Christmas break.
We did.
We just want to say thanks, everybody, for listening to us every week, and thanks for hanging out with us, and thanks for continuing to hang out with us every week.
God damn, 50 episodes. 50 already. That's crazy, isn't it? Like, just thinking about that, like, I can still remember the first episode that we launched last year during the pandemic, you know? And I mean, I do have to say, I mean, this has been a great project. It's been a great social tool to get us through COVID.
Yeah.
I do really have to acknowledge that because, honestly, I think without it, I think we would have gotten just a little nuttier. But it's been great. I mean, the episodes, just coming here, having this social hour of us just doing what we do best, just talking about things, getting things off our chest, and just really having fun. I mean, this has been, a great social tool. And, you know, I just want to kind of mention that, too, being that, you know, if people are thinking, you know, they're still, you know, you're overwhelmed with things. You think that you're going nutty in your own sense. You're looking for something to do. Maybe a podcast is something that you want to share among friends. Maybe you want to start one yourself. I mean, it really, really has opened us up and got us a little bit better, closer. Definitely formed a greater friendship between a trio here. You know, because, I mean, with Zach coming in later in the episodes, I mean, again, it was just, again, a great friendship being connected between the three of us. So yeah, I mean, I really have to say the podcast has been a great tool. But not only that, a great benchmark for friendship. So, you know, Just want to get that off my chest.
Yeah. So we've got a pretty good episode cooked up for you tonight. We're talking about one of the, topics that, like, a movie that just came out on Netflix actually this past weekend that I've been waiting for this one for quite some time.
I know you have, and I know exactly what it is.
So, yes. So we've got some pretty interesting and awesome things to talk about tonight. Let's get it rolling.
Okay. Well, I mean, how's everybody's week going so far?
Busy.
Anybody having anything to drink here tonight? I mean, I'm enjoying my Wall & Pop Pack beer because finally, this is the first night that I'm able to crack open my 4-pack that I bought this past weekend. Sunday fun day, we went up to the Wall & Pop Pack Brewery. Fucking awesome place, by the way. Great food, great beer, and I'm drinking Dias del Lago. It's kind of like a lime lager. But yeah, it's really good. If you like the Landshark beers, something like that, or a Pacifico, that's kind of the vibe I get, but it's just a better quality, obviously, because it's supported, you know, and locally brewed. But yeah, it's really good. Anybody else? Anybody else have anything to share? Munching on anything? Drinking anything? Tea.
Yeah, iced tea.
Ooh, iced tea. Okay.
Black tea. That's all I drink.
Sweetened or unsweetened?
Unsweetened.
Nice. See, I love unsweetened tea.
Yeah, I don't like the sweet stuff. Sorry. Nope. Sorry to my southern friends.
Yep. I had to ask. Zach, how about you over there?
Yeah, I'm just drinking Gatorade.
Nice. What flavor Gatorade?
The red one.
Mm. Fruit punch. Nice.
Yeah, that one.
Okay. I'm more of a fan of the original formula, lemon lime, but okay. That's just me.
Yeah.
Okay.
I like orange better.
I like the, what is it, the blue frost? That's my favorite one. It's like a light blue one.
That was a good one. And the Peyton Manning one, which one was that? You remember the clear one?
Nope.
There was one that they used to sell. I can't remember, but Peyton Manning used to be on the bottles. It was a clear one. Mm. We'll have to research that. We'll get back to you guys on that after the break. But yeah, Jen, why don't you start us off with the first topic of the night?
You've got a list of like 50-year-old movies
We do. You know,
that I've never seen.
Well, I mean, you know, listen, this is just a short part, you know, being that it's the 50th episode of the podcast, you know, we're kind of going with that title tonight, that 50 is nifty, candy is dandy, but liquor is quicker. We're going to kind of break that down, you know, why, what the reference is, and obviously why we chose this as an episode, but that actually will come later in the episode once we start talking about Jenna's famed topic here she's been waiting for. But real quick, let me just give the honorable mentions here. Zach, you'll probably like this, and maybe there's some movies on this list maybe you've seen. But, you know, being that it's the 50th episode, I'm looking at 50th something special in pop culture. Came across a really good article this week. It was actually posted about 3 days ago. And it's pretty much just telling us that, listen, for 2021, we're looking at some of the biggest movies turning 50 in 2021. And that everyone should see, or maybe you've already seen. So, on this list, we have The French Connection with Gene Hackman. It actually was a winner of the Best Picture for 1971. McCabe and Mrs. Miller. Never saw that one. I know it's a Western. Clute, that was another one. Panic in Needle Park. This was an Al Pacino film in 1972, but obviously it was created in 1971. Never saw this, but apparently this was like a more serious role. Like, I know that when we say serious, I think I'm more so going towards the dramatic part. Or like a drama, because it's actually taking on, a drama about drug addicts. And, you know, I mean, that right there could be, you know, a very, you know, a sensitive subject. But apparently Pacino, I mean, he puts on a really great act, and this was one of his best roles, apparently, in his movies. Bananas, never saw that. Willy Wonka in the Chocolate Factory. Oh, one of my favorites. Guys, Willy Wonka. Willy Wonka.
Yeah, okay.
Oh, come on.
It's not one of my favorites. It's just not.
Okay. All right.
Like, I've seen it. It's, you know.
Fair enough. Zach? Your say?
Yeah, I'm with Jen.
Yeah.
I'm with Jen. It's not my favorite.
Okay. But it does put on a legacy. It's a lasting legacy for us. You know, kids have been watching this movie for years, and I still think for however old it keeps getting, it's just going to be a movie that kids are going to be watching, everybody's going to be seeing. Then, of course, you know, Johnny Depp and Tim Burton, they came out with Charlie and the Chocolate Factory. That was obviously a movie connecting to Willy Wonka. But, yeah, I don't know. I thought Willy Wonka still, it's one of my favorite films. The Last Picture Show, that's another movie with Peter Bogdanovich. Never saw that one. Play Misty for Me. This is a Clint Eastwood film. And, no, it has nothing to do with playing cops or cowboys. But he plays a disc jockey dealing with an obsessive fan. All right, so that could be pretty cool. So that one I may have to watch. Fiddler on the Roof. So many variations of this musical throughout the years. You guys probably have heard that. Maybe, you know, A Trip to New York City. Maybe you've seen it there listed on Broadway. Or maybe you've seen billboards. I do know that they had a more modern version of Fiddler on the Roof the past years. But again, it wasn't one of my favorite musicals. I've seen a lot of different variations of it. Have to admit, though, I never saw the original in 1971. So how about that? Harold and Maude, never heard of it. Bedknobs and Broomsticks. Well, that just sounds like a book by itself. But Angela Lansbury, they compare this to like a Mary Poppins film. So apparently that's cool. Diamonds Are Forever, that's a James Bond film in 1971. Happened to be one of Sean Connery's most famous Bond films. So there's a lot of infamous lines in there. Bit goofy with some memorably odd villains as well. That Austin Powers, the comedy, made fun of. Dirty Harry. Okay, now come on. We've all heard of Dirty Harry, right? That even just Dirty Harry is a saying?
Yeah, but I've never seen it.
Yeah. I've seen it. I mean, this is one that I would really have to go back to and I'd have to rewatch. Just so like I could kind of memorize some parts. But big blockbuster of Clint Eastwood. You know, this one is, it's a monumental film for him. You know, you can, like, as soon as you think of Dirty Harry, you think of Clint Eastwood. Escape from Planet of the Apes, one of the more famous, sequels to the original Planet of the Apes. They actually have a Star Wars reference to this. I don't know if anybody read this on the site, but having the third film in a series come out back then was very significant. Star Wars wouldn't even come out for 6 more years after this, so think about that. So if you like sci-fi stories, definitely watch Planet of the Apes, and of course this one, because it's a very notable sequel to the series. Get Carter with Michael Caine. Michael Caine's awesome. I love him. That's a Stallone film. Pre-Rocky, I should say. Little Murders, Shaft, THX 1138, The Omega Man, and then the last one that we want to mention on the list here being a 1971 film was a Walt Disney film. I actually never even knew this. This was one of Kurt Russell's first films with Disney, and they actually call it Disney Enterprise. This is kind of the live-action Disney film that they simply didn't make anymore, that they didn't want to obviously venture down to. But I've never seen it. The Barefoot Executive. Never. I mean, I wonder if that's actually in the vault, because on Disney Plus, if anybody has the streaming platform, there's actually a section in Disney Plus. I think it's called The Vault. So this is one I'm actually going to look up after our episode. But it's a film about a chimp who knows how to predict television ratings. Seriously, so goofy, but perfectly a time capsule of the early 70s. How about that? So, I guess, happy 50th birthday to all those memorable films, okay?
Yep.
Okay. Jen, moving on.
Well, you want to tell your story about the Friends reunion?
Oh, man, we're going right into Friends, huh?
Yeah, because the other stuff we're saving for later. Okay.
Well, we all know that there's a big reunion coming up, right?
Yeah, I'm not a fan of Friends, though, so...
You know, over the years, I've kind of gotten, like, the mix of it. Like, this is a mixed subject. And, Zach, I mean, you probably know what Friends is. Just because probably people talking about it, probably sharing the discussions. Have you ever seen Friends? Have you ever watched an episode of it?
Yeah.
Okay.
One or two.
And, I mean, listen, I get it. It was, for that time period, great show. A lot of people could probably, you know, say, oh my God, it had so many great moments. It had a great cast. But the funny thing is that when people talk about this, and I've even seen in articles too post that this was the greatest or the best of all time television show that we have seen in years. And to me, I think that is just, to me, that's almost painting the perfect picture. I mean, for one, I'm not a big fan of Friends. I mean,
yeah,
maybe,
I'm not either.
You know,
like I've seen some episodes, but like, yeah, I don't know. I'm also not a comedy person.
Okay, and you know, I was kind of gonna make a comparison here. Like, I would actually say Seinfeld was
I hate that too.
Oh God, really?
Yeah.
I would think Seinfeld was a better show than fucking Friends. The Simpsons, I would put past it. I put an animated show past Friends. Not just because of how many seasons they have and how long they've been around, but again, it's just Friends just seems how people talk about it. It just seems to be the perfect picture or the perfect television show. And to me, I really don't see the painted perfection part. I mean, I'll give you the credit. Yeah, it was funny. It came out at a great time. It got a lot of people vibing. A lot of great topics that they probably shared among the episodes, but it wasn't the best of all time. That's where I leave it. And of course, if I saw it on television, I'd skip it. I still think today the fucking show sucks.
Yeah, definitely not a fan.
Yeah, so that's kind of where I go. I mean, my rant is that quit blowing your load over it, you know? There's other great shows out there. And that's where I kind of want to ask you guys. You know, if people came up to you and they said, Jenna, Zach, we have here, you know, we just want to tell you that the best television show in our opinion is Friends. What would you say was the best one that you could think of? What was the best show in your opinion?
So, I would really have to, like, sit and think, because I've watched a lot of TV over the years. But, like, I can watch House 946 times and still be entertained.
I think that's a fantastic show. I would definitely put House above Friends.
I love House.
Mm-hmm. Yep. How about you, Zach? Can you think of a quick show?
Clone Wars.
There you go.
Animated series. Great series, by the way.
Yep.
Anything else?
Like, there's... I don't know. There's lots.
Okay.
Like, I loved Sons of Anarchy.
Good show.
I loved True Blood.
I mean, these are all good ones to mention, because this is kind of like what I want to think about. Like, shows that have been out, shows that are loved... They have a big following. They have a big presence of pop culture. Like, I'm thinking of one right off the top of my head. The Walking Dead. For how many seasons that they're at, I mean, a big fan base, but but I mean, honestly, has it been a...
I stopped watching it a long time ago.
Okay.
Like, I had, like, you know, the compendiums of the comics, and I read everything, and then I just kind of... that was it for me.
Okay.
That was it.
I mean, Jesus, I mean, probably, like I said, I mentioned Seinfeld. I would definitely put Seinfeld past Friends. You know what another one I would probably put in there? I mean, I know that you just said that you don't like comedies, but fucking Frasier. Frasier was awesome.
Oh, I remember that one. That one was okay.
Yeah, Frasier was cool. Everybody loves Raymond. God, that was...
I liked that one.
Yeah, I liked that one, too. King of Queens? Not a fan of that one.
Kevin James?
Yeah, I mean, but I would say it's better than Friends.
Yeah, like, I'd leave that one on if that was on, like, late night.
Oh, sure. And I used to, personally, I used to like the George Lopez show. Do you remember that one?
I do.
Used to be on Nick at Night.
I'd leave that on, too.
Yeah. I just couldn't get into Friends. I'm sorry. You know? But we mention it because it's a big part of pop culture. And I'll tell you, I mean, there's a lot of, I think over the years, other countries have tried mimicking different versions of it. I know North Korea, my God, Jen, I don't know if you ever looked into this, but they loved it so much that they've forced media to replicate a Friends show, but obviously in their own version. And that is something that they have forced on their television for people to watch at certain times because that's what they put on TV. Nobody can change. Yeah. Yeah, I'm dead serious.
I haven't seen that. No, I believe you, but I just...
Check it out. But other countries, I mean, I think there was a European version where European media tried mimicking a version of Friends. But yeah, I mean, it's been influential. There it is. And, of course, we're just mentioning that the reunion takes place on May 27th.
Yeah, it drops on HBO Max.
Bingo.
On Thursday.
Yep. I won't be watching it. Fuck it. All right, moving on. What do we got?
Moving on. All right, so let's break down the Eternals trailer.
Your opinion?
Everybody watch it, yes?
See?
Zach?
Yeah.
Okay. So, I'm excited. For people that don't know who the Eternals are, if we go back to, like, the comics, the Eternals are a race of people that were created by the Celestials, which we know that the Celestials are people like Ego and the Grandmaster from Thor. What was his name?
Grandmaster.
The Creator. Wasn't he the Creator?
Oh, I thought he was called the Grandmaster.
Okay.
Collector's brother.
Correct. So we've seen some of the Celestials already in Marvel. And now, you know, the Eternals are coming. Which, like, if we break down the trailer a little bit, we've got a dynamite cast. So, like, right off the bat for, you know, the Game of Thrones fans, we've got Richard Madden and Kit Harington in the same movie. So, you say Richard Madden and I will come running. I like him a lot. We got Angelina Jolie and...
Jen. Yeah. Hang on, real quick, just for people that, if they didn't see Game of Thrones, those two people that you're talking about that were in that series, I just would want to know, what characters did they play? Do you remember?
In the Richard series? Madden?
Yeah.
Yeah, so Richard Madden was Robb Stark, who was Ned Stark's son, and he became the King of the North, and then he was killed at the Red Wedding, so spoilers, I guess. If you haven't seen it by now, then, oh well.
That's why I mentioned it.
And Kit Harington played Jon Snow, who was, who you were made to think was the bastard son of Ned Stark, but it really turned out that he was really the son of Ned's sister and the Targaryen, and he's actually a Targaryen in the show.
Interesting.
Mm-hmm. So he was Jon Snow.
Cool. Mm-hmm. But going back, okay, you left. I'm sorry, I interrupted. But you were on Angelina Jolie next.
Yep, Angelina Jolie, and who's like her character is technically related to Thanos in the comics. They're like first cousins or something like that. Then we have Gemma Chan, and she plays Cersei, which we have seen her in Marvel before. She was one of the Kree in Captain Marvel.
Okay.
There's a bunch of good cast members here. Some Hayek's in it. Kamal, oh, I'm gonna butcher this one. I think it's Kamal Nanjiani. He's really big in like Bollywood. He's a Bollywood star.
Okay.
There was talk of him wanting to take over like the mantle of Wolverine, and I was like, okay.
Ooh.
They had like pictures of it, and I was like, all right, I could get behind this.
Interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Interesting. And you know, speaking of Wolverine. You know, it's kind of funny that you mentioned that, because this week, you know, I was reading, you know, like, you go to those websites where it's like comicbooknerds.com, we got this covered, and of course, I mean, people know what I'm talking about. I mean, this stuff is, like, posted everywhere, Twitters and Facebook, and, I mean, maybe you're just sharing stuff between friends and text messages, but I read something, interestingly, that somehow Marvel is still connected to Chris Evans for Captain America.
What do you mean?
And I don't know if this is just something down the road in the MCU that they're going to obviously utilize. It might be... I just don't know where it's going to be filmed or what movie it would show up in. But they want to kind of show a timeline where I guess somehow Steve Rogers has met up with Logan. And this could have been, obviously, post-World War II, maybe going into maybe the 60s or the 70s. But apparently, they want to make a connection. It's obviously not solidified. There's nothing out there saying which movie it would happen in. But directors and, obviously, the way that Disney and Marvel want to write this, they still want to show that there was a connection and there was a meetup between Captain America and Wolverine. Which would make sense, because that was a big point in comics where...
I don't know if we're going to get that.
But how awesome and how interesting would that be, you know?
Like, really awesome, but I think Hugh Jackman is 100% done playing Wolverine.
He is Wolverine. You know, I mean, I love Hugh Jackman.
Yeah, me too. He's fantastic, but I think he's...
You don't think he would come back, though, to do a... Like if they did, like a flashback? Because I think that's what they're...
It would depend on the circumstances, because, like, do you know, like, his... I don't want to say, like, his body doesn't look like Wolverine anymore, but, like, he doesn't train, like, you know, as Wolverine anymore.
Okay.
Like, I know he's, like, moved on. Do you know what I mean?
No, I hear you. Could always CGI him.
Yeah, but, like, I know that, like, he's got, like, 5 or 6 pictures that are, like, in...
Projects coming up.
Yeah, so, like, I don't see him... Like, I think Logan was the last time.
Yeah.
That, you know, I think that was it for him.
I would just think it's... I would die to see that. Even if they just did it as a flashback moment somewhere in MCU movies.
I think it would be, if anything, I think he would come back to play Wolverine with Ryan Reynolds' Deadpool. And I feel like that's the only thing that would bring him back.
I'd like to see that tie-in. I would like to see that.
Yeah, and they're like buds in real life, so...
Yep.
You know, they taunt each other all the time about that. So I feel like that would be probably the only way that he would...
Twitter taunts.
He would come back, yeah.
Yep. Zach, how about you? I mean, Marvel, obviously. Captain America, Wolverine. What's your reaction to that? Like, if you knew that was going to be coming up in a Marvel movie, what, like, your reaction? What do you think?
I would love it.
Yeah, like, I'm really excited for it. I'm just trying to be realistic here.
I mean, both heroes have great agility, great power, great strength. I think that would be a hell of a fight to watch. And maybe it's not, maybe it starts off as a fight, but maybe it reconciles, and that's where maybe we see that. Did Captain America know about a League of X-Men? Might be interesting. We don't know. You never know.
Well, they finally brought in Madripoor, so.
Yeah. Yep.
Which is like a huge X-Men tie-in for those who don't know.
Definitely. It's all interesting. Again, I think of so many things when it comes to the Marvel movies. Like, you could it's like one of those rabbit holes that, like, if you're just watching the movies and you're web searching, you could get lost in this, and you could do this upon hours after hours, you know? So I just bring it up because it's a rabbit hole thought, you know?
Mm-hmm.
All right, but moving on. I mean, yeah, the Eternals, what else?
Yeah, so if we go back to the trailer, I think this is a think here going out on the ledge, but I think they revealed who the villain is going to be, which, like, there was a lot of speculation because, like, the Eternals don't get involved with, like, human affairs. So, like, here's the thing. So there's, like, a voiceover and, like, during the trailer. Mm-hmm. And, like, they say that, like, you know, we don't get involved. And so, like, you know, they watched Thanos destroy half the universe, you know? So, like, I feel like for the Eternals to get involved, something worse than Thanos has to be
Celestial?
On its way. No, so the Celestials created the Eternals, so I don't think so. But, like, so that was just, like, my thought. But then, like, I watched the trailer again before we did this, and I think they revealed the villain for the Eternals. If you watch closely at a minute, I think it's like a minute 30, somewhere around there, you see this, like, weirdo black creature, and that's, like, Crow, who's, like, the leader of the Deviant Race. So, like, the Deviant Race is, like, the opposite of the Eternals. They were both made by the Celestials.
Right.
So, I think he's gonna be the big bad, which I guess I'm kind of, like, a little bit disappointed in. Because I thought it was gonna be, like, somebody worse than Thanos. Because, like, what's it gonna take for the Eternals to, you know,
right,
get involved in the universe?
Like, I would think of maybe Apocalypse, Onslaught.
Yeah, like big ones.
Galacticus.
And it's... It's, you know, just like, I think it's the leader of the Deviants. I'm just kind of like, mart, mart, so.
Yeah, yep.
I don't know.
I think villains like that, and just personally, in my opinion, I think they're literally going to launch for, like the next Avengers type plots. You know, because,
right,
I mean,
like, he's a shapeshifter, so, like, maybe they're going to show him as, like, somebody else, and then all of a sudden it's going to be, like, you know, the bad guy. I don't know. Like, I'm sure it's going to be, like, a twist at somehow, but I don't know. I like, when I saw that, and I was just like, oh, I'm not really excited about that.
Yep. No, it's, and you know what, I have to go back to that trailer, because I think I know what part you're talking about, where they revealed that character, the Crow.
It's, like, in the woods.
Yeah. And to me, I mean, you know, you can't judge it by the trailer. I mean, we kind of have to watch it to see what's going to happen, because obviously this villain, it might not look like anything significant right now, but later, obviously, when the movie comes out, it might be something epic.
Right. You know? It definitely could be. But I just, like, you know, like, knowing the comics, like, I wouldn't put Crow above Thanos. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So, like, for, like, somebody like, you know, the Eternals to get involved in the affairs of humans, which they're technically not supposed to do, the Celestials told them, do not do that.
Yeah.
So for them to actually get involved with something, I assumed it would have to be something worse than, you know, snapping and killing half of the universe.
Yeah, that would be, that does sound a little bit more Grand Slam-ish.
Yeah.
Than the Infinity Gauntlet being snapped.
Yeah, so, like, I feel like if it's something less than that, it's like, well, then why didn't you help with Thanos? Like, get out of here, so.
Well, I think right there, though, I mean, you explained it pretty well, because they don't get involved with the human,
Human affairs. Yep.
But I think, too, it's kind of funny that they mentioned in that trailer, they're like, wow, I could lead the Avengers, you know? And they're laughing at a dinner table.
Yeah, that's Richard Madden. And I was like, oh, God, no, sit down.
I'll be honest with you, though. And, Zach, I want you to chime in on this, too. And, Jen, you, too. Have you ever picked up an Eternals comic? I mean, I'm going to be honest.
100%? No, I just know, like, the backstory.
Okay, see, I don't even know the backstory, because I'll be honest with you, I never heard of the Eternals.
See, you had to, because I believe they were in Spider-Man, like, in the cartoons.
They might have been, but, like, it's just something that I don't remember. It doesn't stick out, like, a significant point. Like I said, I could go back and I could say, yep, I remember when they introduced Madame Web. I could remember when they introduced Doctor Strange, Tony Stark, and Iron Man. You know, I could understand all those other tie-ins to the, you know, they even had an X-Men crossover, a Captain America crossover episode. But, yeah, I just don't remember I don't remember anything with the Eternals. I never opened up a comic. So, I mean, this is a new age and a new experience of superheroes that I'm going to be watching.
Okay.
100%. So I want everybody to know that. Zach, how about you? Eternals?
Yeah, I didn't pick up any of the comics either, so it's going to be new for me.
Okay. I mean, I'm intrigued. I think it's going to be exciting. I mean, you got to give it a chance, and this is the new breath of MCU coming in, you know?
Yeah, so we'll wait and see. That comes out in November.
And your expectations, though, Jen, I mean, are you giving this, is this high expectations? Like, you think it's going to do good?
Yeah, it's Richard Madden, so yes.
Okay. No. All right. Yeah, no, I just wanted to see where everybody's mind is on that, you know? Because, again, I kind of thought about that before we did the episode. Like, has anybody actually opened a comic book of these heroes? But I want to say something, though, real quick. If you find those animated episodes, because I know you watched them, the animated series Spider-Man. If you find and you remember what those episodes were, let me know, because I'd like to Disney Plus them, you know?
Yeah, sure. I'll see if I can dig it up for you.
Because now I'm intrigued.
Okay.
Okay, so with that being said, how about we take a quick break? Let's get Waterworks going. Let's refill the snack bowls. I know that I need to refill the pint glass here for a new Dias del Lago. Yes, yum yum. So sit back, relax. We'll be right back.
All right, welcome back from break, everybody. We are just about ready to start our final topic for the evening.
Mm-hmm.
And this is a film that just popped out on Netflix on, what was it, Friday, Saturday this week?
It came out on Friday, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think it was a midnight release, actually, on Friday.
I've been waiting for this one for quite some time. And this is the new movie on Netflix, Army of the Dead, which, of course, is Zack Snyder's new film.
Snyder's been very impressive, let's just put it that way, over these past few projects that he's been working on.
Mm-hmm.
So, okay. So, yep. It's Army of the Dead?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I did get to watch this, obviously, last night. Let me kind of just... I'll get this out real quick. So, our episode is called 50 is Nifty. We obviously kind of explained, yes, it's the 50th episode of the Garlic Jar Podcast Show. 50 is Nifty. We said honorable mentions to the 50-year movies that are turning 50. Candy is dandy, but liquor is quicker. Kind of got into some bad water last night with this movie. And the reason for that is, number one, lost track of timing. Went to bed at a ridiculous time, about 4:30, almost 5 o'clock, catching Joe Snedeker in the morning with the weather. And, of course, I mean, I slept in probably till about 2:30, 3 o'clock in the afternoon. So my wife was not a happy camper about this. And, of course, losing track of that time, you know, instead of drinking beer, what am I drinking? Moscow Mules and frickin' vodka. So I was a little wonky. All right. I will, and I do apologize. I'm sorry for being a bad boy. But I will say that I did lose track of timing. The movie did have me glued. I was pausing in between, trying to do other things as well. But for most part, I will just say this. I kind of have mixed opinions on the film.
Okay.
So, I have a mixed feeling. I'm not saying it's bad, and I'm not saying it's great. So... But I would like you to start, Jen, because, I mean, this is something that you waited for. This was a big release. So why don't you take it, and then we'll come back. We'll deliver our opinions after.
All right. Well, I'm going to, I guess, immediately start off raining on your parade then, because I thoroughly enjoyed this film. And because I enjoyed this film, I'm very excited that there's going to be more Army of the Dead.
Okay, so I thought those were rumors. So that's a definite?
Yeah, so like right out of the gate, they're going to make prequels.
Okay, that actually would be really interesting.
So it's a film and an anime series. So the film is going to be It's going to be called Army of Thieves.
Okay.
And apparently it has been filmed by, I'm sorry, like during the pandemic. So like, I think they're currently filming it now.
Gotcha.
And it's apparently going to come out on Netflix at some point later this year or maybe early next year. And then, we're going to get Army of the Dead Las Vegas, which is going to be like an anime series that, Snyder, and it's going to like reunite, pretty much all of the cast to like voice their characters.
Okay.
So right off the bat, I am quite excited. So my favorite part of the film, which I know, Zach, you haven't seen this, so I apologize, but
go for it.
My favorite part of the film, of course, are the gore. You have your classic Zack Snyder gore riddled throughout the entire film,
which I was a fan of. Yes. Not gonna lie, the gore was good. I mean, that was horrific. So
my question to you is, how can you watch that opening sequence and not just immediately feel a connection to the film?
Well,
that was,
I mean,
fantastic. The opening sequence.
The intro was awesome. I'm not gonna lie. All right. So obviously the intro is where it's military bound, right?
Yeah.
Is that what we're talking about? They're on
yes.
the road. They're bringing something out of air, and they did mention that they're bringing it out of Area 51. That's why they were looking at each other in the truck, saying, "Is this what I think it is?" Because obviously you're thinking, "Oh God, it's alien. It's extraterrestrial." And who knows? Maybe. I mean, we don't know the
That's
story.
That's what they were thinking. Yeah.
Right. And even for us, though, I mean, I kind of left that open throughout the first half hour, the first 45 minutes of the movie. I mean, you don't know the outbreak because we didn't get an explanation of how the outbreak started, right?
No, but to my understanding, that's probably what's going to be discussed in
the sequel?
In the prequel.
Oh, the prequel.
But so, like, if I had to guess, like, you know, like, when... So... Alpha 1, the alpha zombie, you know, zombie case 0, they named him Zeus. So his name is Zeus
yes.
in the thing because, you know, their whole operation is in the Olympus Hotel in Vegas. So he is Zeus, you know, the mm-hmm. king of Olympus. So
the god of gods.
Yes. So you can see that in that first opening sequence that he's wearing military pants.
Yes. So it was a military
assumingly,
subject.
Yes, it was military experiments gone wrong.
I did get that. Yep.
So, then, like, when him and the two other army guys get infected and die and become zombies and they're overlooking Las Vegas and the Viva Las Vegas song
I freaking
begins.
Love that song.
That was the whole soundtrack to this film is fire.
Yeah.
So when they're doing the Viva Las Vegas sequence in the film, you're seeing how the zombie outbreak started mm-hmm. and exclusively like progressed and ran rapid through Las Vegas and what kind of went down to try and stop it.
Yeah.
So, of course, there's lots of, you know, zombie attacks, there's bombings, there's planes and crazy stuff and just
oh, yeah.
chaos and how could
military
you
tactic galore.
Yeah.
Yep.
So, like, I'm really hoping that, like, you know, like, some of, like, you know, like, the prequel, like, this will be more explored.
Okay.
So, and, like, I hope, like, you know, maybe we can get a sequel, too, because, you know.
I mean, I definitely think
we'll
a sequel could
be
open.
We'll get to the ending.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But, yeah, so, like, the opening sequence was probably just one of my favorites.
Okay.
Like, you know, like, favorite parts of the film, because I was just all about it.
Yes.
100% on board after seeing the opening sequence.
I liked, do you mind if I kind of say something before your next point comes up?
Go ahead.
So, and I just want to kind of just stay in the beginning before you kind of go ahead to next parts. So in that intro, let me kind of go back, because that fucking song, I freaking loved it. The whole "Viva, Viva Las Vegas." Oh my god, that was fucking awesome. And you know what? Yeah. It kind of, you remember? It reminded me of Dawn of the Dead, where it was that also song where it's like, "Come on and get down with the sickness."
Zack Snyder, he knows how to. He's just like James Gunn.
Yeah.
Like, the music for Guardians of the Galaxy is fantastic. Yes. The music for Zack Snyder's film, fantastic.
Music was great.
Yeah. So like, yes. And then there's right after Viva Las Vegas, we get a remake of one of my favorite songs, Bad Moon Rising.
Yes, I caught that. Yes, I did, and I liked it. I love that.
When they're trying to like form their team, because for those of you who don't know, this movie is a zombie film, but it's also a money heist film.
Yeah.
So it's like this like ragtag band of, you know, outcasts
misfits
come together to try and take back $200 million from one of the casinos in Vegas for this dude.
Can I ask you a question?
Yeah.
What was your opinion on the team? Did you like the characters? Did you like everybody assembled?
Yeah, like, the two of my favorite characters were the Safecracker.
Loved him. I knew it.
He was hilarious.
And you know what? As soon as you said to watch this movie, right?
Yeah.
I was like, all right. One character that I think both me and you or anybody else that watches, if there's a character that we could fall in love with, and just fucking, it's just.
I think his name was Dieter.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah,
he's German, and yeah. He is a crack whiz. Like, I mean, a crack whiz that will crack anything. Safe, a locker, you name it. I mean, this guy has the combination code and the mental capacity to break open into anything. And I loved his mentality, where it's like, "You just fucked me up. That's it. You know, get out of here. Go down." You know, like,
yes.
And I loved it because, like, this guy, let him work his magic. One more fuck up will literally. And he used all his emphasis to say, "Get the fuck out of here. Go do what you got to do. Let me do what I do." You know,
yes.
Fucking loved him. I loved his character, his mentality. And he was funny, too. I mean, you have to, you cannot sit there and not laugh at some of the stuff that was coming out of his mouth, like his questions, where it's like, how do I shoot them? You know, do I shoot them?
Yes. Because, like, you know, like, once they assemble, like, he's like, "Well, I've never killed a zombie before, so how do we do that?" And then, you know, Dave Bautista's character, who's kind of like the leader of the group.
Yep.
He's like, "Oh, Jesus." He's like, "So who here hasn't killed zombies before?" And he's like, "You know, you gotta go for the brain, the headshot." Yep. And he's like, "Well, what if I picked up a large rock?" And Dave Bautista's like, "Yeah, I guess that would work. It's still the brain."
And then the guy just puts a pistol in his hand. He's like, "No, you're gonna use this."
Yeah. Yep. So that was like his partner, like Vandero. So, like, you know, they get to the safe in the casino.
Yep.
So they, you know, make this band of, you know, outcasts. And actually, I don't know if you know this, Matt, but you know the pilot, the helicopter pilot, Marianne Peters?
I loved her character. No, I did. I loved her character. She was my second favorite in the film.
So, do you know the story behind how she got the role for this?
No, not at all.
So, the Tig Notaro had to come in because the guy that they had originally playing the pilot was he was accused of like sexual harassment or something.
Oh no.
So Netflix and Zack Snyder spent $1 million scrubbing him from the film and replaced Tig Notaro replaced him.
Wow.
So she came in, and, like, I think this was definitely, like, an upgrade, because she's fantastic in this film.
Oh, I fucking loved her character. I mean, so, mentality, the person, mentality and personality, like, it was just so funny how they introduced her, because he walks up to the fence, he's like, "Hey, you want to make money?" She's like, "Sure, shit, do I want to make money? Hell yeah, I want to get the fuck out of here, let's go."
Yeah, and so, like, so let me tell you some, like, fun facts about, like, how she shot this movie.
Yeah.
Because it's been going around how, like, the cast has never met her. So they scrubbed out the old actor, and she did every single one of her scenes alone.
You're kidding me.
No, because this was, you know, shot in the middle of the pandemic, and she's a cancer survivor, so she is a high risk for COVID.
Interesting.
Yes. So she did all of her acting by herself, and then she was, like, digitally added to the film, like, months and months after they had already wrapped filming.
You know, it's funny that you mentioned that, because if you look at the activity and you look in the film of how much she was implemented, because, I mean, you could easily make a filming scene of her across the fence. Mm-hmm. There wasn't a lot of her in the group or in the crowd.
Yeah.
Her scenes were mostly done as herself, reflecting on herself. Like, when she was on the roof, she was by herself right by the helicopter. Yes. When they introduced her, they brought her character in. She was behind the fence, not anywhere near Bautista, not anywhere near the other actors. That actually is a really good fucking point to bring up. Holy shit.
Yep. And, like, I just think it's crazy that, like, you know, like, she did, especially, you know, the scene when, you know, that we first meet her.
Yeah.
And she's like, well, yeah, like, what does it pay? Like, you know, like, she did all of that acting alone. Like, there was nobody on the other side of the fence.
See, I love stuff like that. That's like, that's like trivia, like movie trivia, like that they put up in front of, like, if you're at the movie theater, right? Sometimes they'll play, like, reels of, like, did you know, or hey, fun fact. Like, that is a really good, a mention for a film. Like, she shot all her parts individually. That is amazing. And somehow, and the work of Zack Snyder.
Yep.
Work of Zack Snyder.
So they scrubbed the old actor out, and they, you know, put her in.
Yeah, yeah, that's great. That
and,
is
like,
good.
It's funny because, like, Dave Bautista, like, has joked in, like, interviews and stuff. Like, he shares many scenes with Tig, but he's never met her. So, like, it's a seamless insert for me. And I think like, there was a couple million dollars spent adding in, you know.
But the whole point of not meeting with the other cast members was because she was high risk of COVID.
She's immunocompromised, yeah, because she's a cancer survivor. Gotcha. And so shot during, like, in the middle of the pandemic.
Got ya.
So they didn't bring, like, the other actors back and stuff because it was so, you know, post-production. Because they shot this movie in 2019.
Okay.
Like, the whole cast. And then once the filming wrapped, they had to get rid of the other actor because of, you know, like, last summer, 2020, the allegations came out for the sexual harassment and stuff. So
Right.
That's also what pushed this film back a little more, because, like, if you watch this film again and then keep in mind of, like, how they, like, digitally added Tig, like, it's crazy because, like, even the scenes where, like, she's just in the background, it's, like, completely seamless.
Yeah, yeah.
So, like, that goes, you know, like, hands down to, like, Zack Snyder for being able to do that, like, seamlessly.
Well, let's go to another point here. And I love that you mentioned that, because these are all really, really good points to bring up about the movie. And again, I'm intrigued because, I mean, knowing that now about, like, how, like, that was my second favorite character of the film, to be honest with you.
And, like, the only unfortunate thing is that she couldn't improv any of the lines because all of the other actors, like, responses and next sentences were already complete. So she had to stick to the script.
I just don't know who this, what's his name, Notaro? Who is this Notaro
guy? Tig Notaro.
Yeah, who is he, though?
Was she? Yeah, she's been in lots of things.
No, but I mean, like, is she notable? Like, would I know her to see her in, like, a film?
I know that she does a lot of TV and, like, voices. Like, let me see. Like, I know that she's been on Bob's Burgers.
And she was, and what happened? She was axed from it because of what happened?
No. She's the replacement of the actor.
Oh, okay. So the,
yeah.
So who's that person, though? Did
the
they
original
ever,
person?
Yeah. Do you know who that was or no?
Yeah. It was,
I mean, obviously,
Chris D'Elia.
Okay. And the reason for that he was pulled was because of sexual harassment.
Yeah.
All right. It's a zero tolerance policy. I don't give a shit what you say.
You'd probably know Chris from lots of, like, TV, and he's, like, a comic.
I wonder if that's the guy. You know, I think I know who you're talking about. Yeah. His name sounds familiar.
If you saw his face, you'd know.
Yeah. And I'm not going to look him up right now, but, like, I'm looking up another character in this film because, you know, we got to go back to the fact that, you know, the granddaddy, it's kind of funny because, you know, the grandmaster, you know, the one that puts together this mission and wants his money is actually somebody that we have seen recently.
Tanaka?
Yeah, Tanaka.
Yeah.
And this is somebody that we have seen in a recent movie on HBO Max. He was Scorpion in Mortal Kombat.
Correct.
Yep. And if we go a little bit further, let's go back to
he was in
Avengers.
Westworld. Not that you would know that.
He was in Endgame, too.
Where?
Okay, think about this, right? Remember when Clint was tracking down the Yakuzas?
Oh, okay.
He was the boss where...
Right there.
Yep.
Okay.
Yep, how about that?
Yeah, he's in, like, ton of stuff. He was in the Wolverine, too.
He's a good... Yeah, he was the Silver Samurai, wasn't he?
Mm-hmm.
I like him. I think he's a great actor.
Me too. He's in lots of, you know, lots of good films.
And of course, they're talking about bringing him back in Mortal Kombat. They're going to be talking because obviously I mean, my God, I just hope that we get a little bit more flair out of his character. I mean, yeah, the fight was cool between Sub-Zero and Scorpion. Zach, you saw Mortal Kombat too, right? Remember him?
That was fantastic.
It was great. Yeah. Right.
What do you mean it was okay?
No, I'm not saying, but no, I'm saying it was fantastic.
Choose
right?
your words. Choose your words wisely.
Sorry. Damn. Somebody should yell at me and say, "Get over here."
There you go. That was good.
After sticking an arrow attached to a chain through your elbow.
I liked his version of Scorpion. If they brought him back in the sequel, I would be stoked.
They better.
It made, and one of my favorite characters in Mortal Kombat was Sub-Zero, always and forever. But Mortal Kombat, like the newer film, made me hate Sub-Zero even more.
Yeah.
You know?
Yep.
So who do you like more? Obviously Scorpion, because of the storyline. This guy is out to, that's it. It's a revenge story. It's like The Crow, like Eric Draven. Like, you want...
The Crow.
You remember that movie? Oh,
yeah,
my
God. Yeah, of course.
God.
I saw all of them.
Love that movie. That movie is on my top 20 of all time. But, yeah, I mean, God. We're going to have an episode of The Crow. We're going to have to talk The Crow one day.
We could.
And how convenient is that we're talking Crow because the villain in The Eternals, right? Mm-hmm. How funny is that, right?
Yeah.
That just comes up.
That works.
But, no, I want you to go into other points, though. Keep going. Because like I said, I kind of want to explain why I'm kind of in the middle and the mixed feel of this film, but okay. You never know. The prequel and the sequel could revive me.
Well, I'm on board already. Cause like, I thought it was a super fun film to watch. And like, it was just a fun ride for me. So like, I don't know, because then, like, once they get into, you know, the zombie Las Vegas, you get to see, like, the Alpha King, and you get to see his showgirl queen, which I think they're calling her, like, Athena.
Athena.
So you got Zeus and Athena. And then you get to see who protects their land, and it's the cat from Siegfried. I'm sorry, the tiger from Siegfried and Roy.
The cat.
There's a zombie tiger.
Yeah, it's a cat.
Which was cool.
I mean, she's not
I'm
wrong.
I'm not wrong. But...
Yeah, it's a cat, but I mean, when you think of cat, like, meow.
Pretty
yeah.
big cat.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I don't know. I thought it was super fun, and, like, you find out, like... side stories here, like, if you get bit by the alpha, you also get to be, like, an alpha zombie, which isn't, like, your typical, like, slow, dumb walkers, like...
It's ritual-like, you know?
Yes. So, like, they drag you to the pool, because we saw that happen with Theo Rossi, who was a scumbag in this movie, but...
I fucking hated him.
Yeah, he was in Sons of Anarchy, though, and he was one of my favorite characters.
Yeah, I hated him.
So... Yeah, bastard. So, like, you see what happens. And then, like, did you catch that the queen, she was pregnant with a zombie kid?
She was. And I think that was supposed to be the new alpha.
Yeah.
You know?
So, like, I think they were just trying to live their lives.
Well, because he pulled the zombie spawn from her, and
but
you saw it die.
the first time they bring Theo, which I don't remember his character's name in the movie, but as soon as they bring him to, like, the pool there, like, when the king shows up, because you see,
Well, it was an eating pit. That was a pit, for, like, I feel...
But
I,
it
like,
wasn't
I,
an eating I, pit, though.
I feel like it was, like an arena for fight, you know?
Yes. But when they threw him in there, it was just so he can get bit and, you know, then go die and then become one of them.
Become
so
one
like,
of them.
So, you see, like, you know, when they're giving him up, because that was the thing. If you bring, like, a sacrifice, then they'll, like, let you into their lands.
Right.
You see the sergeant from the army and the Queen Athena drag him back, and then all of a sudden you see Alpha One Zeus show up.
Yeah.
And, like, when he sees the queen, he, like, puts his head, like, near her abdomen. I don't know if you remember that, but that was the first inkling that I'm like, shit, she's pregnant.
Yeah. Yep.
So, that was, like, you know, like, the first thing. So then, there was a guy with them. He was, like, working for Tanaka, and, like, his sole mission was to bring back an alpha head so that it could be studied. So, eventually, the queen gets her head chopped off, and they're trying to take it out of Las Vegas, you know, after they get the money and everything. Well,
try
to get the money, I should say.
Yep.
Yep, so then we find out that the United States government is going to drop a nuke on Las Vegas in, like, a 90-minute time frame. So then you see the, you know, our characters, like, scrambling around to try and get the money, save their family, and get the hell out of there before the nuke drops.
Yeah.
So.
Yep.
Yeah, I don't know. I thought it was super entertaining and fun.
Okay.
Like, I watched it more than once.
Okay, so... I mean, at this point, if you don't mind me going through, because, I mean, we still have about maybe 10 more minutes here of discussion before we have to conclude, okay? My thing was, I'm not saying I hated this film, all right? And please, that's why I'm saying, I'm coming out right now, and I'm telling everybody here, I'm not hating it. When I say that, I'm telling everybody that I have mixed feelings towards it. It was entertaining. So right there, I mean, it's good. I'm at the point where it was good. It wasn't bad. It wasn't great. It was good. It was entertaining. It kept my composure going here. It had me entertained. I mean, obviously, I watched it. I took my little breaks in between. I was a bad boy, and I paid, obviously, for the aftermath today. Sorry, baby. Love you, Lauren. But I have to put it this way. You know, when I look at zombie movies and I look at the zombie storyline, I want to go back to the original roots of how this was created.
That's why they're giving us a prequel.
But let me explain. And I understand that, because that's why I said maybe there'll be a revival point where it's like, ah, now I actually have better appreciation, and maybe my good arrow will move to great because of the explanation and later media that will come later to obviously emphasize this film. But let me explain this. I go back to one of my most favorite directors in horror, and everybody is probably going to know, because we're talking zombies. We're talking about the... And I'm saying the, because there's no other person that you... I mean, if there's anybody else that directed a zombie movie out there, he has nothing on the director and the storyline of zombie movies. Night of the Living Dead, the original, 1968 film, George Romero. I am a Romero fan till the day I die. His vision of zombies, and it was Nightwalkers, the dead, walking amongst the living and feeding on the living. And it's just that depiction of where we've seen zombies in many, many movies. Night of the Living Dead, Dawn of the Dead.
Which Zack Snyder also did.
Which he also did, right. He did, yes. Dawn of the Dead with Sarah Pauley and, what's his name? Ving Rhames.
Yeah.
Yep, or Ving Rhames. I'm sorry, yes. Rhames. And I like that. Because that right there was still... the point of the traditional zombie movie. No, I mean, obviously, comparing from 1968 to that version, you're looking at, all right, slow-moving, slow-progress zombie to aesthetic, over-eccentric, adrenaline rush zombie, you know? And, but the whole point of that is that it's still that traditional part where it's like, they have no feeling. They have no, their ambition is just, all right, to live, we eat. We eat the living. We're dead. There's no consciousness there. There's nothing. They're dead.
See, that's where this is different.
But to me, that kind of, that's the goofy part where in a movie like this, why are they so, they're like cultivated. There's a, not a culture, they're cultivated, and they're like a, there's a, I'm trying to think of the words here. It'll come to me. They're adaptive, you know, like, I mean, it's just a different breed of zombie.
Yes.
That I'm not a fan of, because it's like, whoa, you know, they have, it seems like they have feeling, they know what's going on.
Just the alphas. Not all of them, just the alphas.
But even with that, though, I mean, what is so significant of that? You know?
Which I think that's going to be explored, because in the military experimenting.
Well, right, because it's obviously showing that there's smart detail compared to dead detail, you know? Mm-hmm. And this zombie knows to put a freaking Kevlar, a metal helmet on to avoid a headshot.
He's not dumb.
And even, you know, the queen, Athena, if we're going to name her that,
mm-hmm.
she even knows, too, that she's the sacrifice taker, that if you want to get by, and they're acknowledging that they know that living being is coming present with something, they have to make a sacrifice.
Yes.
That's just weird, because in zombies in general, I mean, Walking Dead sense, Night of the Living Dead sense, they know only one thing, and that is to survive by feeding on the living, you know? They're dead. I don't know. I think to me, that's the point where that kind of got me, where it's like, I wanted more out of that. Give me more explanation to what makes this a little bit exploitative, you know?
So what I think happened was, as soon as Netflix gave this the green light, Zack Snyder was like, oh, hey, we got, like, you know, what am I trying to say? We have, you know, other ideas too. So they're like, we're going to hit the ground running with this, and then we're going to do a prequel and potentially a sequel.
Okay. And the sequel would be an anime film?
No, I think they're thinking about, like, a movie sequel as well. Like, what happens after they drop the bomb? Because, like, remember the ending? The guy that was trapped in the safe with the money.
Right.
He survived the nuclear explosion, but once he's on the plane,
he
realized he got bit, and he's not turned yet, but what's gonna happen? Like, where are they landing? Where is he going? What's gonna happen? Does he become...
the spread.
Well, does he become the new...
Alpha.
Alpha Zero, you know what I mean? Like, you know, Patient Zero.
Yeah. But here's the thing, though. He wasn't bit by the Alpha, was he?
I believe so, because the Alpha was the one that took the friend. So there was, like, a scuffle between... not, I shouldn't say the friend, the German guy. So, like, there was a scuffle between the Alpha, the German guy, and him.
Okay.
So, I do believe he was bit by the Alpha. I will have to go back and rewatch it.
I have to rewatch that, too. And I'm not putting you on spot to kind of question that and say that you're mm-hmm. wrong. But, like, that's what I want to know. Like, how does this connection make sense, you know?
Like, to me, he would have had to have been bit by the Alpha just to continue on the story.
Right, and to be that type of, like I said, the smart dead compared to the dumb dead.
Yeah.
Or the dead dad, whatever you want to call it. You know?
And, like, this was such a big movie for Netflix. It's actually playing in some theaters.
Well, I mean, that's good. I mean, mm-hmm. listen, zombies are big right now. It's, Zach, you could even contribute to this, too. Because, I mean, I know that you started off watching Walking Dead and stuff like that. Like, zombie in pop culture right now, I mean, just go to Netflix by itself. I mean, all right, if you want to look at something zombies, they have a show called Zombies. Drew Barrymore and Timothy Olyphant, they have a show that they've filmed that has something zombie oriented. There's a lot of zombie series, and there's a lot of zombie media that's been out for years, you know, and I think it's still a popular genre. I think the apocalyptic and the zombie apocalypse, you know, it's still one of those most famous tiers that people are still toying with. And for this movie to come out, I mean, it did a great job. It had its own emphasis. There's just some things that I question because it's like, I want to see the realistic part that what we've seen in past parts and past media of the zombie part.
See, I like the new age smart zombies better.
Like, I guess,
better fight.
I guess what I'm getting at, like, if you watch World War Z, I fucking hated that movie because it was like, what?
Oh, that movie was
right?
Complete
it was trash.
Garbage.
It was trash. Thank you. I wanted somebody. I was.
There is another show I'm trying to think of that was on USA that was complete garbage.
But it was similar, right? It was similar to the World War Z stuff.
It was kind of like World
War
Z, but
Brad Pitt
also
one?
Had a.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
I don't think so.
Brad Pitt.
It had a mix of World War Z and The Walking Dead. It was the one where. The guy got like bit and then like found out that he was immune, but his skin like still turned gray or whatever. I can't think of the.
So he didn't fully turn on.
He didn't. He got bit, but he didn't turn to a zombie. He stayed human. And, like,
interesting.
It was,
yeah, see?
It was so stupid. I can't think of the show's name, though.
Well, see, to me, that's like toying with the emotions. Like, what the fuck? You know? But I think in my final opinion, like I said, I just look at it in this factor. I just wish it was a little bit more, not productive, but I just wish it was a little bit more explanative. I mean, I get it. You know, you're trying to put a movie together, and they obviously had an initiative to actually explain, you know, that the fact that there was this team of, and I call it misfits because it just seems like, my God, they're out here recruiting anybody and everybody that can just contribute and have a specialty. And like you said it's like a team of outlaws. And that's what it is. It's like outlaws, misfits, you know, bandits, whatever you want to call it. It's a money heist. So, I mean, the part is that you're getting both that mix of, yeah, we're fighting the zombie apocalypse of Las Vegas, but we're also trying to get the money deal of, what was it, 200 and, it was like
200 million.
Yeah, 200 mil in a freaking safe under a casino. And, I mean, great storyline. I'll put it that way. It had a great storyline. It was exciting. Great music. Good cast. My part is where, like I said, if you wanted to know where I rate this out of a 10 scale, I put it at a 6.
Okay, I'm higher than that.
You're probably in 7 or 8, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And I'm going to comfortably say that it gets a 6 out of 10 for me. It's exciting. It's still good. I just wish that things were a little bit more explanative. Again, that whole fast pace, really conceptive and intelligent zombie. What makes it click? You know, like,
well,
I mean, I need more, though.
That's why
more.
They're giving you a taste. So then you go and you see the prequel, Matt.
Well, they've definitely caught my attention, and I will definitely do that. You know?
Yep. So.
It was Z Nation.
Oh, Z Nation. So. Yeah. Yep.
Oh, I didn't watch that
show
either.
Blue ass.
Yep.
Fucking hated that show.
That might have been on Sci-Fi, actually. Was that Sci-Fi?
It was on Sci-Fi and USA.
Yeah, I heard that show sucked.
Yeah, the average audience score, according to Rotten Tomatoes, was 68%.
Oh, wow.
Fucking horrible.
Yeah, that's... Yeah.
Like, Rotten Tomatoes doesn't even have a score because there's not enough ratings to calculate it.
Zach, I think the next thing that we should say here is that maybe you should watch this. Maybe get an opinion. Maybe we'll come back to this movie at some point, and we'll...
When you find me time to watch it, then yes, I will.
Okay. Okay.
Because I am strapped for time right now.
Great.
Anything else?
No, I'm good.
All right.
Natural light beer is disgusting. Don't drink it.
Natural light?
Yes.
I wouldn't recommend that. That's like desperate beer. That's
pineapple and lemonade.
What are you drinking?
Pineapple and lemonade.
Yeah, I never heard of that one. That's a Natty Light flavor? Pineapple lemonade?
Mm-hmm.
Hmm. Interesting.
Disgusting.
Okay. I mean, I've had worse. I think, like, there was another company that came out with like a strawberry lemonade beer, and it was god awful. I can't think of the name. I mean, I'll reference it in the next episode that we come back to in episode 51. But like, yeah, usually when they make that, I mean, it's catch on beer, and when I call catch on beer, it's like, all right, we'll sell it for low, but it's a low quality beer. It's like buying Key Light, or it's like buying Natty Ice, you know?
Mm-hmm.
You pay for what you get, you know?
Yeah.
But, yeah, no, I think we close this chapter. I think we all deserve a great pat on the back. I want to say that, Jenna, Zach, myself included. We've gotten pretty far with this, 50 episodes. We're over a year in the making. We've spent so much time. We've done so much conversation. We have done so much reminiscing and thinking of topics, coming up with great collaboration, ideas to provide for this podcast. You know, and I mean, it shows. People love it. They're downloading it. And I'm just glad that there's an audience that they're playing it. They're downloading it every week. So thank you for making 50 episodes great. I just would have never thought we came to this point.
Agreed.
You know? Jen? You? Have anything to add, or?
No, I'm good.
Okay. Well, I think that concludes and this closes the chapter tonight. Episode 50 is done. It's in the books. And we hope that you enjoy our rant about 50 is nifty, the Friends reunion, the Eternals, Army of the Dead. If you didn't see it, make sure you watch it. It's on Netflix. It's a good movie. Jen will say it's a great movie. But stay tuned. We'll be back next week with a new episode. And if anybody has any questions, comments, ideas that they want to forward to us, email us at garlicjarmedia@gmail.com. Hit us up on Twitter. We're there at ddoldrums, at jriley1411, at Phoenix. Zach, what's your numbers on that one? At Phoenix what? I can't think of it right
43.
Now. 43. At Phoenix 43. Thank you for enjoying the episode tonight. We look forward to giving you 50 more episodes in the future. We love you! You are the garlic jar. We are the garlic jar. God damn it. All right. We're ending it. Anybody else?
No.
Okay. Good night.